Well, I'd like to welcome to the Caregiver Smile Summit, Breida Miller. She is CEO of Breida Miller Speaking and is a writer, actor, sandwich generation expert. She's also, in this order, a wife, a mother, a daughter, a sister, and a friend. Of all her accomplishments, she states that her most fulfilling role was caring for her frail mother at the end of her life. I would have to agree that was one of my wonderful moments in life, too. As a member of the sandwich generation, Breida managed to run a household, manage a business, raise three teenagers while providing round-the-clock care for her ailing mother. A graduate of the University of Detroit Mercy with a degree in communication studies and business, Breida began in Detroit working at a number of radio and television stations for over a decade. We also have that in common. After her children arrived, she began a speaking career that included a stint touring nationally in a one-woman comedy produced in Chicago. She's recorded audiobooks, emceed major events, used her resonant voice to impact people around the world. And I'm glad to virtually meet you after speaking with you on email for a number of months. Breida Miller, thanks for being on the Caregiver Smile Summit.
Oh, thank you, Anthony. I am delighted to be here. And I'm just exhausted listening to that introduction.
I was exhausted as well. But it's a wonderful bio that you have and a well-rounded resume, so to speak. So, you know, we were talking before we started about the fact that we're in an industry in healthcare and caregiving and aging that is quite very serious. A lot of times it's crisis-driven. And maybe there's not a lot of humor, especially when you're in the midst of a caregiving situation, which obviously you've been a caregiver and I've been a caregiver, and it can be tough. So, you know, humor and particularly laughing have been shown to have the same physiological benefits as exercise. Yet in the middle of caregiving, there's often little time for finding the funny in a situation. So when you're talking to our caregivers, our viewers out there, how do you find that?
Well, I think one of the most important things that I do is that I really differentiate. I think it's important to take our work seriously, to always have the mindset of dignity for the person that we're caring for, but to not take ourselves so seriously, to not take the comments that other people, maybe they mean well, maybe not so much, but not to let them get to us. So yes, it is very, very difficult when you're in the thick of it. And I will be the first to admit that there are days that I could have done a lot better. Days when I was at the end of my rope, when I was cranky and I was tired, and I found it really hard to find the humor. But then I built in some mechanisms for myself. And I guess the best thing that I can advise to people is, you know, it's just like when you're buying a new car, right? A few months ago, I decided to buy a Subaru. I'd never owned a Subaru before. And all of a sudden, I'm on the freeway, I'm on the road, every other car I see is a Subaru. They were there all along. I just didn't notice them, right? Humor is the same way. If you raise your antenna, if you look for it, you will find it. And sometimes it's if you can't find an outright belly laugh, if you can't find a way to laugh, even a chuckle can be a good thing. Maybe it's not exact humor. Maybe it's silliness. I like to look for the irony in life. So one of the things is this coffee cup that I have, and I'm known for the caregiver coffee break, but this coffee cup is a great reminder of the sense of humor I used with my mother. If you notice on this mug, it has teacups, cups and saucers. It's a mug. My mother was a little Irish lady who loved to have her cup of tea and was deeply offended if she did not have a saucer with her cup. But at one point, she couldn't handle a cup and saucer and manage it and the weight. And we switched to mugs for convenience and safety. So I found a way to give my mother her tea and a cup and saucer in a mug. And every time I look at it, it just gives me a smile. It's not a big laugh, but it's just something that's positive. It's fun. It's a way to solve a problem in a clever way.
So basically, if you look hard enough, you can find the humor in the situation you're in.
Absolutely. And sometimes what I would do is I kept a little journal of stuff, almost like a Ripley's Believe It or Not, because I would say things. I would do things. My mother would say things that no one would believe. And so it was a great opportunity for me to not be to just remember at the end of the day, I have to write this down because no one is going to believe what happened today.
Well, we certainly have that in common because my mother came out with stuff and she had her cognition up till the very end. So she almost knew what she was saying and deliberately did it just to get a reaction. So, yes, I have lots of stories and lots of humor around that.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, one of my favorites was right at the end, near the end of her life, when we had to make the transition to hospice care. And she had, I didn't know it at the time, but she did live another 7 months. But when we had to make the introduction from the care, home care nurse to the hospice nurse, my mother sat there and put out her hand and said, "I'm delighted to meet you. I know all about hospice. I'm not ready to croak yet, but I'll take all the help I can get." I wish I would have had a camera for that nurse's face. She said, "Yeah, that's not normally the reaction I get."
Yeah, well, you know, my mom, Italian, Catholic Italian, you know, basically said, "You two are just trying to get rid of me."
Oh, yes, we've had many, many moments like that. And now I think of them fondly. And it's, you know, I've had some time and space. It's been 5 years. Yeah. And so now I look at those things really fondly. I mean, who knew you'd have conversations with your children? "Help me find Nana's teeth." You know, you don't ever expect to be having those conversations.
Exactly. Hopefully we won't have that particular conversation, because it doesn't seem like our generation needs the closet full of dentures that skilled nursing facilities seem to have. So yeah. Why do you think it's important to find humor in caregiving?
Well, I think it's a great stress release. For one thing, if you can control your attitude, if you can control your perception of what's going on all around you, that's an element of control, because honestly, you don't have a lot of control about other things. You don't have control about the decline of your loved one. You don't have control over how other medical professionals might be responding or treating them. But you can control your attitude and your mindset. And so as a stress reliever, I think it's huge. If nothing else, you can give yourself something to look forward to every day. And that is finding ways to find humor in your day.
Yeah, and we have to keep stressing to our caregivers. And again, we come from an experience of this, is that, you know, caregiving is stressful, and you need to take the time for yourself, and you need to be concerned about your own health and well-being. And certainly, you know, laughter is one way to cope with that and make the body feel better. Because like you
Absolutely.
Said, yeah, there definitely are benefits equal to exercise. So what's an example of using humor as a coping mechanism?
Sure. One of the things that I do, and honestly, I learned this from caring for my mom. I do it every day in my day job as well. I call it mental bingo. And instead of allowing things that I knew that my mother was going to do every day or say every day over and over again, and let it irritate me and be, "She's gonna say it again, she's gonna do it, and it's gonna annoy me." Instead, I filled out a little mental bingo sheet up here. Now, it's important not to put this on paper or to put it on a computer, because you don't wanna be subpoenaed about this kind of thing. But what I did was I filled in these little squares of, she's going to tell me how tiny she is. She's going to say to the doctor before a doctor's appointment, "Now, you can't give me medicine like regular people. I have miniature organs, and I have to not break out in just frustration and embarrassment at these comments and statements." Anyway, so the idea is this: you figure out 5 or 6 things that just irritate you, that you know press your buttons. And then instead of letting those things, when they happen, press your buttons, in your head you say, "Bingo," like a win. And I share this with my coworkers, and I did a program a few weeks ago, and I got emails, people sent telling me, "Brita, I said bingo 5 times and it's only noon." So it's a little bit of a way of taking back a bit of control and turning a really negative situation into something a little bit fun.
I like that, bingo.
Yeah. So, and the other thing I do is sometimes you can't go for the humor, so go for the silly. One of my favorite things is I go to Target, and you know, they have that little dollar section right in the front entrance to Target. So one weekend, actually it was New Year's Eve, I was caring for my mom. My family had gone out to a family gathering and my mom could not leave our home. And I thought, you know what, we're going to have a party. And I got 2 little fairy princess wands and 2 little princess crowns. They were $1 a piece. They were silly. They were really cheap. And she just got a big smile. I got a big smile. And we just imagined the different things that we would want to use our magic wand on to fix or change the world. And some of it was just, it was just allowing yourself, giving yourself permission to be silly.
See, I like your mother already. So, you know, and, God bless her. But, you know, it's interesting. You know, I joke when I started my career, at least I solidified my career in aging when I went to start singing in nursing facilities. And I joke with people that, you know, there's some places you go in and I'm pretty silly and every program's different. And, you know, some places I go in and the residents are just right on top of it. You know, they become designated hecklers and they just go along. But then the other, you know, uppity communities, I go in and, you know, you just leave it on the floor and you get the master's polite golf clapping.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
Right.
I don't like those communities as much.
So. They're not as much fun.
No not like, at all.
I often think about, I'm in the midst right now of helping my husband's family care for my very sweet mother-in-law who has Alzheimer's. And one of the things that I do when I work with or spend any time with a person with Alzheimer's or other dementia is I think of it as, okay, this is improv for one. And I go, you know, the rule of improv is it's yes and.
Yes and.
And you go with them, enter their reality. Don't frustrate them. Don't frustrate yourself to try to bring them to your reality. It just sets up a no-win situation. So I couch it that way of an opportunity to be creative. You know, you have no witnesses. No one's going to say whether you're doing a good job or a bad job of your improv. But just try to be flexible. I often think of, you know, the patron saint of caregivers is Saint Gumby. You know, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not get bent out of shape.
All right, I needed to internalize that for a second, and then yeah. I realized you said Gumby. Okay, now I got it.
Okay.
Ba-doom. Got it. All right. So what are your favorite ways to incorporate laughter into a caregiver's day? What can our caregivers who are watching this do?
So our caregivers can give themselves permission to be silly. Another thing that a friend of mine did, her father had Parkinson's, and her mother found a very creative, fun way to increase his level of dignity and have the family engaged. So with the Parkinson's and the tremors, whenever he would eat anything, it would be a mess, right? And so she made something called Gubs. And these Gubs, G-U-B-S, grown-up bibs. And she either took a towel, she was a seamstress, far better than I could ever be, but she made bibs that were funny, like maybe they looked like Superman, or a tuxedo with a bow tie, or Wonder Woman, or a Playboy bunny. It was really funny when her husband wore that one. But the idea was that she had them in a drawer near the dining room. And when the family of four would sit down to eat dinner, everybody chose their gub. And the key was, it wasn't just dad wearing the grown-up bib. It was everybody. And it was a way to start the meal in a fun note, a chuckle. Who's going to get to be Batman today? Who's going to be Superman? And it was simple, it was inexpensive, and now she looks back on it years later as a really fond memory. So with a little bit of humor, it was very, very practical, and it maintained the dignity of her dad. I would call that a win-win-win-win. So thinking about ways to solve problems that have a bit of humor, a bit of fun, maybe having a mug with cups and saucers on it if you can't have the cups and saucers, and being creative that way. Another thing is to plan it out for find an external break. And maybe you're not a funny person yourself and you think, well, I don't think that way. I just could never do that. Fair enough. But there are funny people out there. You can find other people that have a similar sense of humor and maybe schedule a break. I like to say, take a break before you break. And whether that is a phone call with a friend that you're looking forward to, whether it's going for a walk, the library is your best friend, I think, because number one, it's an opportunity to leave the house. You go there, it costs you nothing, unless you have a lot of fines built up and then that's your issue, not mine, sorry. But it doesn't cost anything to borrow CDs, DVDs, funny books, and find out some good ones that you like. If you have a little bit of money, maybe you could subscribe to Netflix. I think it's $7.99, $8 a month, and you have access to a treasure trove of old comedy TV shows, old movies. And just schedule a time. Here's the thing. So many times caregivers are selfless. And the problem with that, if you do that all the time, is you never end up doing something just for you. So when you choose these humorous outlets, whether it's a movie or a TV show, make sure it's something you like. You can always find things that the person you're caring for likes. But pick something you like and give yourself permission to watch it and enjoy it. And I have some examples if you'd like those as well.
Sure.
So if you're looking at old movies, one of my very favorites is Some Like It Hot with Tony Randall and Jack Lemmon. It's just a classic old black and white movie. It makes me laugh every time. Some that are really goofy and silly are like Blazing Saddles or Caddyshack or Planes, Trains, and Automobiles that I find myself quoting almost daily, but you know, it's fine art, but I really love it and it's great. Maybe ask around other people that you know that have a similar sense of humor and build up this little list. If you have a smartphone, there's a little section called Notes. I used to keep just a note that said funny movies. And when somebody suggested a movie or talked about something, I would just put it in there. And then when I go to the library or I'm searching Netflix or Amazon or whatever you're looking at, I didn't have to have the stress of trying to remember funny movies. Another thing that doesn't take as long a time, it's half an hour or less if you can fast forward through any commercials, are old TV shows. This is something that your loved one might really enjoy because maybe they're just going to really remember I Love Lucy or Golden Girls or something like that that they would enjoy. My mother loved America's Funniest Videos. Not my favorite. I mean, people falling down, getting hit in their privates is not my favorite thing. Some people find it hysterical. If there were any TV shows that had talking animals on it, though, she loved it. She thought it was the funniest thing ever. So we would find those and put those on. Whose Line Is It Anyway? A colleague of mine said she loves that. When she wants to have a good laugh, she'll look for that. My favorite current funny TV show is Modern Family. I mean, mm-hmm. It's so well written. Every time I put that on, I know that I'm going to take a moment and enter an alternate reality that's way funnier than my life. So think about shows from your childhood, shows maybe that you grew up watching, that you can now find either at the library or on Netflix that could really present a good opportunity for some relaxation and some good laughs.
All great choices. And, you know, you can't beat the toll booth scene in Blazing Saddles. It's just classic.
And some of that, you know, anything to do with humor with bodily functions, what caregiver can't get?
Exactly. Yeah, and then right? There's the campfire scene. Exactly. So, well, thank you. This has been absolutely wonderful. And you certainly given us a lot to think about. Certainly bringing humor into our lives is something we all need to do and maybe take ourselves a little less seriously. And maybe that quote, non-funny person, if they listen to enough of this stuff, they may find themselves by osmosis absorbing some of it and figuring out how to find the funny every day. Who knows?
Absolutely right. Just give yourself permission. You know, when I say take a break before you break, because I truly believe you can't pour from an empty cup.
There you go. Well, Brita, I want to thank you for being on the Caregiver Smile Summit. This has been a great conversation, and I hope we have more conversations offline in the future.
I hope so, too. Thank you so much, Anthony, and take good care of yourself.
Okay, thanks.